It's Monday, May 18th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Yes, I am mobile once again in the great state of Texas. A little bit to talk about a little adventure I had this weekend with Trucker Tom. Be a lot of fun to talk about that. But as you all know, got a great show, so strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Texas via the Geek News Central portable studio. Aloha, how are everyone? Welcome to the show. My name again is Todd Cochran, and you can, of course, you can check out all the great content over at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, you can check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. If you're a new listener to the show, you'll definitely want to subscribe to the podcast, and you can do that by visiting Geek News Central, and you'll find a iTunes link on the website or a Zune Marketplace, or just subscribe to the podcast RSS feed. That way you'll be able to get all the shows delivered directly to your inbox, or actually your portable media player. If you do want the show notes delivered directly to your inbox, you can do that by signing up for our newsletter. The newsletter is a compilation of everything that I'm going to talk about tonight, all the articles, all the listener-suggested content, and any links that anyone has provided me of interest that I think is worthy for you to get. You can find that newsletter link on the geeknewscentral.com website as well. Of course, I want to give a big shout-out to all of our Ohana. Our Ohana are the audience members that are longtime subscribers of the show, people that have been here supporting me through and through. I think we're on show number 479 tonight. And once again, I am broadcasting and recording the show in my hotel room here in Dallas, Texas. I'm having a great time out here in Dallas, getting a lot done. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that have been happening here. But tonight we're up on Ustream once again, and I'm using the VidBlaster Studio Edition to bring this portable event. You guys know when I'm normally home in Hawaii, I use my TriCaster for my four camera setup with all of the cool graphics and stuff. But I'm using this time, I'm using a application called VidBlaster in order to stream the event over Ustream. And so far, I'm kind of liking this little application, playing around with it, getting used to all of its features that it has. And it's, you know, it's got some things to learn, a little bit of a learning curve for me, but it does give me the ability to transition back from camera to camera if I so desire. Okay, lots going on. Friday night, I had got a Twitter from Trucker Tom saying that he was going to be dropping a load, a semi-load of goods in the Dallas area, and that he may be available Saturday to meet up. He wanted to go over to Fry's. I wanted to go to Fry's Electronics. Hadn't been there since I'd gotten in town. And turns out that Trucker Tom had some issues with his truck, and he actually had to put it into a repair shop. So most of Saturday, I haven't heard back from him when he actually got it repaired, but I picked Trucker Tom up about 10 a.m., 10:20 in the morning Saturday. Raining cats and dogs in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Matter of fact, the whole southern state of Texas was under severe high rain, flooding, you know, tornadoes, all that good stuff. And him and I proceeded to head over to Fry's. Actually, we had some dinner, lunch at a Mexican restaurant, got caught up, went over to Fry's, had a great time. I tell you, it's like geek heaven when you go to Fry's Electronics. And being like I live in Hawaii, obviously there is the lack of, I should say, geek stimulation. And Fry's is always a worthy trip. And I actually got out of there for a whopping $124. I think that's the cheapest I've ever got out of Fry's. I think Trucker Tom found some RAM, got some RAM for his netbook that he's purchased. He got two, I guess, a 1 or 2 gig stick for $29. So he was probably 2 gig stick for $29. He was quite happy. And then we proceeded over to Podcaster Geek Country when we went to Guitar Center. And I was looking for a specific cable. And I think you guys will laugh here. Let's see if I can find this so I can show the guys that are watching on Ustream. Yeah, I went up to the Guitar Center and I needed a cable that had a mini jack. And you guys can see the mini jack. And I needed an XLR input, so Y cable. Well, the XLR cable that I should have got was female because. As you guys can see, so I made the trip over to Guitar Center and got the wrong cable. So I'll add this to my cable bag and I'll make it back over to Guitar Center to get the right one. But you know, it's just one of those things. You should, I guess, I have to draw myself a picture. But other than that, we had had a great time, and I dropped Trucker Tom off at the place he was getting his truck repaired at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He sent me some links to some cool podcasts that he has subscribed to. I'm going to share those with you in tonight's show notes, so you guys can check those out and maybe find a few new podcasts to listen to as well. Well, I tell you, one thing about Texas, you can get good Mexican food in Texas. Now, Hawaii. No, I don't even go there because it's not worth going to be honest with you. The Mexican food in Hawaii, there's maybe one place, but for an island known for having 11,000 restaurants, Texas is not the place to get to have dinner. That's my lovely wife calling on the cell phone. She knows that the show's going down and calling to interrupt me, but I'll have to call her after the show. Hey, anyway, got a good lineup of tech to talk to you about tonight, and a lot of stuff happening here. I'm going to be heading home on Friday, and looking forward to getting back and spending time with the family. As you all know, the 2 weeks prior to me coming out here on travel, my wife was in Japan. Just to give you an update, her father is doing about the same. Not a lot of an update there. And she has been recovering essentially for her 2 weeks of nonstop care and taking care of the family on that side. And of course, she lands, and 10 hours later, I get on an airplane and go the other direction. So, needless to say, I have a large list, honey-do list to do when I get home. So, she will have me tasked for the Memorial Day weekend. It's hard to believe it's Memorial Day weekend already. The time is flying. It really is, and it's amazing here. I think we've officially reached the 4 year anniversary of GoDaddy being a sponsor here at the show. And as I look back from, when I started podcasting 4.5 years ago, when it was October 2004, then GoDaddy coming on as a sponsor in May of 2005, I'm just amazed at how far we've come. Trucker Tom and I were talking about it, and we were both just blown away by the. Think of this, 478, 79 shows, something like that. And I do 2 a week. Some people do more, some people do less. But the hundreds and thousands and millions of people that this show reach from an audio perspective is amazing. And it amazes me every day that many of you who have been listening to the show since the very early days continue to be subscribed. We pick up new listeners every show. The audience here has grown to well over 125,000 people. It's really an amazing testament to all of you that subscribe to the podcast, send in your comments. Send in the well wishes stuff. Sometimes I get stuff that you guys don't ask me to read on the show, but we're not even at the 5 year anniversary. But I'm just thinking about the sponsorship, and I wrote a post on my blog today. Really, GoDaddy and our other sponsor, GoToMeeting, has been responsible through their sponsorship of this show and other shows in the podcasting community for influxing I can't even, I don't even know if I'm legally allowed to say the number. I know how much they've invested, and it's a huge number. And there are a lot of people that are full-time podcasters in care, for GoDaddy and GoDaddy that allows them to be full-time podcasters. There's podcasters that are part-time podcasters that have full-time jobs yet earn a full-time income with those sponsorship dollars. And I think you guys all need to know or to be thankful, or if you know, show your appreciation to those companies, because they have really stuck through thick and thin. Even with a down economy, they continue to invest dollars, and largely because you guys use the products, and I do too. And I guess, if I was going to say anything, they need as much recognition in this space as anyone else because they've been here the longest. And of course, this show was the first show that GoDaddy sponsored. And I hope that they keep a special place in their heart for this show. I guess as long as we continue to bring in dollars for them, they will. But don't forget, when you get to the checkout counter at GoDaddy.com, that promo code Todd, that'll save you 10% on your order. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. And of course, you can save 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts with the code Todd20. Over at geeknewscentral.com, there's a bunch of codes there you can use, some for renewals, different types of products like Secure Socket Layer certificates, $12.99 on those using GeekSSL12. Just a number of if there's a code for every occasion. So share those with us, and if you have a kind word to say about GoDaddy, please do so in a public forum and thank them for being a supporting force in the podcasting world. Now, so far as GoToMeeting goes, you guys know that I use GoToMeeting on a regular basis. I used it twice today to work with some clients online. They had some issues, walked through some stuff with them. We actually worked on some advertising stuff with some people. It's basically allows me to have an office and have a virtual presence no matter where I go. Obviously, I don't want to travel all the time, but when I am on travel, I can use the product as if I were at home. And it really is a very powerful application. And I think, if you're in business, you need to take a look at it. You really do. It has my highest endorsement. It's an application that works. You do voice over IP. You can connect with someone, use your headset like I'm using now, and talk to them through the application, through and not have to pick up a phone or anything else. It just works. So if you are looking to give GoToMeeting a try, do so by going to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast and get a free 30-day trial. Again, at gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. And again, these two companies have been here a long time, and I appreciate their support. And more importantly, I appreciate your support of those companies as well. Okay, got a lot of tech to talk about tonight, and I'm kind of in a reminiscing mode. And we're going to be close to show work as we're approaching show 500. I'm contemplating what to do for show 500, and I have some ideas. And I just have to kind of, I want you guys to be as much a part of Show 500 as I am. And I want it to be some sort of an event where we are able, as a community, to help others. Right now, in this trying economy, there's a lot of people out there that are hurting. Now, some of our Geek News Central family, you may be unemployed right now, and you may be looking for work. You may be, at the point where you need some extra dollars. So, what I thought I would do is try to keep the show 500 in the family per se. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to pony up X number of dollars, and then I am going to try to have you guys match. I'll guarantee an X amount, and then if for every dollar that exceeds that X amount that you donate, maybe I'll match one for one up to a maximum point. And then what we will do as a family, as a family of listeners, those of you that are part of this family, maybe we can find one, two, three Geek News Central family members that are in need, and some of you are going to have to come forward and basically tell me you're in need, and then we will put a number of you into a pool. And then I will try to figure out how we'll distribute some cash to you. And it may not be a great deal, but it might be enough to pay a house payment for a month, something to that effect. So I think that's what we're going to shoot for show 500. I would really love to be able to raise about $5,000 to give away. I don't know if we'll be able to do that by show 500, but I've got to figure out what I can afford to match and come up with that number. But as we're moving forward here, and if you're one of the members that are in financial straits, who have having some challenges, start thinking about how you're going to word something to me. And then what we'll do is I'm going to, I'm not going to put names out, but I am going to share, with the Ohana, those in the Ohana that are having troubles, and they maybe will let the Ohana decide who should get tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 money for show number 500. So if you guys have comments on this or can think of a better way that I should be doing it, let me know. I want to impair, that you guys are part of this process, and we'll move forward and see how we see how much money we can raise and take care of someone within our Ohana. And again, if for those of you that are new to the show, Ohana in the Hawaiian is family in the true sense of the word. It's like your brother, sister, auntie, uncle, and I feel that every one of you are as close to me as someone that falls within that definition. So enough talk about that. You guys came to listen to tech, and let me go ahead and bounce into the tech content tonight, and I got a stack of stuff for you. Last show, we went an hour and 30 minutes. Longest show of the year. Also, at this point, it was the number one downloaded show of the year. So far, the numbers are on track to be the, I can't even explain it. I'm thinking to myself, usually when I go way long, people, the subscription numbers go down because people say, oh, that was too much. We're not going to go an hour 30, but it was surprising. It really was. So for being the longest show, it was the number one downloaded show. It completely blows me away. All right, let's go ahead here. First article up tonight is over on Asa Dolzer's weblog at weblogs.mozillazine.org. And I have to, I got to thinking today, and this really goes along with his topic of his article. It's called Hubble's Heroes. And if you think about it, we talk a lot about science in this show. We do astronomy picks of the day. There's still whatever comes up in the world of science, I try to share with you that I think is cool. But you think of what these astronauts have done over the last five spacewalks and what they have accomplished in space. We all have to give NASA and the team a big round of applause because they put their lives on the line. They've done amazing work. We should have life for Hubble up to at least 2014 now. And it's exciting. It really is. And we're going to have new science coming from the telescope, new life, new innards. Lots of stuff's been upgraded. It's really excited times. And we'll talk a little bit about spacewalk number 5 a little later in the show. But Asa hit it on the head that we have heroes out there that have repaired Hubble, and I'm appreciative. It's where I feel my taxpayer dollars were well spent, and I hope that you do too. So anyway, we'll continue to move on here. A little bit more of a discussion type of topic comes from Mark Cuban's weblog, and I've been kind of shying away from a lot of Mark's articles recently, but this one kind of struck home today as I was reading it. He says how Twitter and Facebook now compete with Google. And I continue to hear how people are saying that they are not using their RSS readers no more, that they're driving traffic to their weblogs from Twitter, they're driving traffic to their blogs from Facebook. Obviously, there's a number of people that are listening to this show right now that have came in because of my announcement on Twitter and Facebook. And obviously, I'm in a time zone right now that makes it easier for me to. All of you are not in bed because I'm normally recording this show in about 5 hours from Honolulu. And so I think what we're seeing, and you guys need to tell me by, sending me an email to geeknews@gmail.com or calling the voicemail hotline at +1 619 347-326-7365. Are you getting more news and information now from Twitter and Facebook? Are you using that as a resource as much as you use Google? You know, I find myself going to Google a lot more than I do to Twitter and Facebook, but I'm also finding great links from stuff people are tweeting. A lot of it you have to really weed through because it's self-promotion, which I guess this show is, or scammers are trying to send you to articles that may not be worthy of a link through. But I'm still continuing to use my RSS reader, and I'm finding new resources, though. I'm subscribing to new resources because of Twitter and Facebook, but I don't know if it's competing with Google. I guess it's kind of a combination. It's something that we use in conjunction with other tools. So how do you feel? Do you feel that Twitter and Facebook are now competing with Google? I don't know. I don't know if I would go that far, but you know, I look at my blog and the traffic that comes from Twitter is not that great. Google drives a huge amount of traffic, you know, many multiple times more than Twitter ever does, and Facebook as well. So I don't know. I don't know what's king there. You know, maybe the trend will change, but I do see some traffic coming from Twitter. But I don't point a lot of my tweets back to my blog. It's normally stuff that's, you know, like this or other types of topics in the podcasting space. So anyway, we'll see. All right, news out of Apple, or actually a rumor out of Apple, is they're saying that AT&T may introduce a $20 limited iPhone data plan. Now, it appears that there's new generation hardware and software around the corner. Of course, 3.0 is coming. And there is this new report that AT&T is thinking about changes to its iPhone monthly service and data plans. Now, I find this hard to believe that they would actually do this, considering that they know that a great number of the folks that are actually using the iPhone are probably doing so in a data-heavy environment. And they're already having problems with data loading. So for them to come in and offer a reduced price for their data plan makes me kind of suspicious. Now, they're saying that it would lower the cost. The move would theoretically shave 14% off the cost of owning an iPhone, dropping a combined two-year service fee to $1,640 from $1,880, and would cater to consumers who may find Apple and AT&T's current offerings too pricey for their shrinking budgets. Hey, you know what? Guess what? That phone is expensive. And, you know, I think about what I'm paying now on T-Mobile for three phones with 2,000 minutes and a data plan. And if I tried to do that with AT&T, I'd be looking like, you know, I'd probably pay $120 or something now, maybe $130 with T-Mobile. I'd probably be paying $300 a month. So, yes, it's expensive. So, you know, they got to do something. Maybe they ought to think about lowering or giving more bang for the buck for what you get. You know, I don't mind paying the full price for the data plan, but give me more minutes and more phone options. That will really kick the, you know, that'll really, you know, increase my, decrease my, how should I say it, my resistance to signing up for AT&T. Better yet, Apple just signed Verizon and signed Sprint. You know, that's another thing. Why is Sprint doing so bad? You know, I am running the show tonight. It's being broadcast on a Sprint EVDO card. I'm pushing 340 kilobits per second, which the Verizon EVDO card was only capable of pushing about 250 before it started crapping out. Why is everyone giving Sprint such a hard time? I have not had a problem with my Sprint EVDO. I hear people that have Sprint phones that are not having trouble. The data speeds are actually faster. You know, why is everyone so down on Sprint? I really don't get it. I really don't. I know why people are down on T-Mobile. It's because they're still on Edge. Their network's slow. Although they have the best data, I mean the best phone plans, their data plans are just slow. So why is everyone so down on Sprint? You know, and you know they keep bleeding. They're going to end up, you know, being owned by someone else. But I don't fully get it. I have not a complaint one about Sprint, and especially on the EVDO side, I don't use their voice services. But You know, those some of you that were used to be Sprint customers, why did you guys leave? Did you leave for the iPhone or did you leave for another reason? You know, Wi-Fi devices, moving on to a new topic here, obviously. Talking about Wi-Fi devices, we talked about the MiFi and being able to put a Wi-Fi device with an eVideo card in your pocket, and you've got this basically a virtual Wi-Fi umbrella around you. Up to 4 or 5 users can connect in. And a lot of folks that are shooting professionally now are, you know, essentially adding devices to their cameras that allow them to transmit those images essentially as quick as it can be uploaded through a Wi-Fi device. The folks at at Nikon are selling an $800. It's called the remote WT4A. It's called the WT the wireless transmitter, which sends images from a camera to a computer over Wi-Fi for basically, it's so you don't have to be tethered to the actual to tethered to the PC. But a gentleman by the name of Pete, I'm gonna say Zha, Tsai, sounds like a Chinese name. He took a look at this and he was able to scrub up enough gear. And this is an article that's over on Wired, and he came up with a $50 wireless tethering solution. Using some off-the-shelf parts, a little bit of modified jack connection, and you know, for versus you know, instead of $800, he was able to put this up with you know, put it together for $50. So if you're a pro shooter, or if you want a little science project for the weekend, you'll definitely want to check out the $50 wireless tethering solution. And it's, you know, be kind of a cool little science project and a good way to thumb your nose at Nikon and not have to spend $800 for their service. Now, I don't take enough pictures to make this worthwhile, but I know a number of you probably have your cameras in hand at all times, and you're probably shooting full body digital cameras, and you may be interested in this. Now, of course, a lot of people are trying to push stuff right off to Flickr right away, so I'm sure there's some way you can do that as well where you're not necessarily tied to a PC. But at least you're able to transfer stuff to the PC immediately with this device. Over on MakeZine.com. Now you guys know I love Make Magazine, and it's one of the few magazines I still subscribe to. Matter of fact, it's the only magazine I still subscribe to because they come up with all kinds of cool science projects and stuff that my son and I can look at, and we can kind of decide what's within our expertise level and to be able to build stuff cool. But I had to laugh today because I have a massage chair at home, and I absolutely love that thing. And so when I saw this article on homemade massage chairs, I said I had to look at this. So I went over to MakeZine.com, and there is no way that someone would strap me in to this chair. Because it looks to me like it is a death trap. You guys, I'll let you guys be have your own opinion on this, but all I can say is wow. I don't know what he built this from, but it's a little bit over the top. I have the link, of course, in the show notes tonight. It'll be up on geeknewscentral.com and in the newsletter. But when you guys see this homemade massage chair, I think you're going to agree with me that it is not one to crawl into. I've noticed over on Gizmodo that they've been doing a series of articles called Man versus Machine, talking about printers that are eating ties, talking about devices that are electrocuting people, all kinds of interesting, you know, technology versus man type of run-ins. And they're getting some pretty funny articles on this, and it's a full series of articles. I'll have it linked up to the main category here. You guys can go through these and read them. It's pretty funny. But have any of you had a man versus machine where a machine almost got the better of you? And you know, I'm talking about an office printer, a scanner, you know, the shredder in the office. You know, have you ever had a run-in where you actually had a little bit of scare and you were actually a little bit fearful for a limb or, you know, something that was eating something it shouldn't be? I'd love to hear you guys' stories on this, or if you run in and had an office mate that's had some problems. But they've got a full. This is going to be a good series from them. So, if you want a little entertainment on the side, you can subscribe to this specific category over on Gizmodo. Over Unplugged at unplgg.com. You know, I used to travel a great deal across various countries. You know, there would be times when I would hit four or five, six different countries in a 30-day period, and I would always have that little travel bag of different type of adapters, plugs for the wall. I'd have converters, you name it. I had like 5 to 10 pounds of stuff just to be able to stay plugged in, connected, everything when I went to different countries. Well, the folks over at Unplugged have done us all a great favor. They have published a socket guide from around the globe, and it's just basically a map. You can expand it, print it out. So if you know if you're going to be heading off to Africa or Asia or Australia or South America or wherever you may be going, you'll know what type of plugs to take with you. Because believe me, and there's nothing more frustrating getting into a country and pulling out your adapter and having it not go in the jack that you want it to go in, because the next thing you know, you're hunting for a hardware store at 8 o'clock in the evening to try to find adapters. So this is pretty cool. So this is a, I would say this is a going to go into my permanent bookmarks as a tool to go back and look at later. So it's a those of you that need to stay plugged in and get that power. Yes, this is the article to review. All right, over on Ars Technica, got an article about how to get cheaper Fios. And I was reading this, I'm thinking, okay, how do I find this for Hawaii? Well, obviously it's not available, but if you're a Verizon Fios customer and you don't want to spend the $144.95 or the $164.95 a month-to-month contract for some of the Fios services, there are a few ISPs out there that are now selling fiber solutions. One of them is DSL Extreme. They have announced that it will offer 50 megabits per second fiber access for $99 a month across 17 different states. And this is a they are one of the first wholesalers of fiber internet service. Now, one thing they cannot provide for you is they cannot provide the Verizon VoIP or television service. So you're just getting pure internet service. Boy, I tell you, DSL Extreme, I'd love to have you guys come over to Hawaii and do a little business, but they're a wholesaler, so I'm sure they're buying blocks of content probably from Verizon, AT&T, or where else they can get it from. So very interesting to see that this is available. So if you're in a state that has Fios availability, you'll definitely want to check out the folks from DSL Extreme. See if I can find their website here. Is it dslextreme.com? Yeah, dslextreme.com. Hey, those of you that are up on the Ustream, just you guys give me a thumbs up in chat if the video and everything's rolling good, because I can't monitor all this stuff all the time. If something goes down, chat is a place to fire me a hey, we can't see you or something. Another article over on Gizmodo. And I noticed this myself as well. You know, since Circuit City has went out of business, since CompUSA has went out of business, you know, really all I was left with in Hawaii was CompUSA, and not CompUSA, excuse me, Best Buy, and a few other local stores. And it's really become quite distressing. But I had to pick up some shampoo the other day, and I went into a Walmart. You guys know I don't normally shop in Walmart. And as I was walking through, I decided to dash through their electronics section. And to be honest with you, I was blown away. They had like two rows of flat screen TVs, two or three rows of computers, software. They had a great selection. And I was pretty amazed, because the last time I had looked at electronics section in Walmart, they may have had like one or two laptops, maybe one or two printers. But they had a lot. Now, I remember when I was in Honolulu last, I had went into, where was it? It was another kind of a Walmart-type place, and they also had ramped up and were carrying a lot more stuff. So it's obvious that Walmart is trying to replace some of the product lost from Circuit City and CompUSA and other companies. So I'm sure Walmart is going to do very well with this and probably will continue to do so because of their ability to bulk buy. But who would have ever thought? That was like, you don't expect to see anything high tech in Walmart. You see the general stuff, but they had name brand stuff on the shelf. I was mildly surprised. I really was. Hey, over on dailyicon.net, and this article may have been out a few days, but there was a discussion on television about the tools that they were using to repair Hubble, and they had had some issues with one of the nut catchers that was specifically designed so they wouldn't lose nuts as they were taking 121 screws out or something like this. And they had to do some stuff by brute force as well. But this site has got just a three or four of the tools that were specifically designed to use to repair the Hubble. And some of the stuff, I'm telling you, it's pretty far out. It's some cool stuff. Now, I had to laugh, though, because on spacewalk number two or three, the battery went dead in one of the drills. Now, fellas, I know that's never happened to you, right? But imagine being in space and the battery goes dead. Not only would you be pissed, you would have to be quiet on the intercom because you would not be able to swear. You're out there and you're in space, you're taking screws out and the battery dies. Okay. I think they should have invested in some new batteries before they went up there and made sure they were fully charged. Oh gosh. Okay. Interesting article over on GigaOm talking about technology IPOs. They're saying that tech IPOs are back, but not surprisingly, they're only for companies that don't need cash. And there's a lot of companies out there right now who are heavily venture funded. They're burning through their VC money in a quick rate. They're in the red. They're not in the black. But they say that there is a marketplace right now for IPOs for companies that are profitable that don't need cash. And so they're talking about some IPOs that are going to be forthcoming. I thought this was pretty cool, in that finally someone has gotten a clue that companies should make money. That's been our goal with Raw Voice from the very beginning. We were very, very conservative in our spending. We were very conservative in salary. We skimped by as much as we could to make sure that, we would have enough cash in the bank that if things completely dried up, that we would be able to go 18 months without another sale. And obviously, we would continue to have positive months, month after month. This year's is no change to that. But, I'm looking at other companies that are in our space, and I'm thinking, can they survive because they're bleeding red? They continue to bleed red, and I don't, we may not have built the fastest, but we're definitely here for the long haul. And, maybe it wasn't smart. Maybe we should have went out and got venture funding, but, we're doing well. So it's nice to see that companies, especially, we're not a company that would be even considering an IPO, but we are a company that's profitable. But it is nice to see the companies that are actually doing business the right way and who are cash positive are going to be possibly rewarded by public offerings. Businesses drive this economy and they hire people. We have got this year, I think right now we have five programmers that we have hired that are working on separate projects. We have a tech support person. We have a web evangelist. We've got a gal that does a lot of work for us when it comes, and she works periodically, does work for us on the administrative side when we have to, when we do press releases and that kind of stuff. And then we've got a gal that helps out with the books. So, they're not, many of these are independent contractors, but at the same time, we're putting money in people's pockets. And the only reason we can do that is because we're cash positive and in the black. And we've built slowly, and we only hire people as we need them. And I think this is what, if companies would just get, they try to make $1 million in a week, and it just is not going to happen. The times of get rich quick are well over. You have to, take your lumps and get beat down and lose a few rounds in order to continue to strive and move forward. So, and, it's just kind of cool that people are taking a step back and going, maybe a company that needs to be a little cash positive. All right, let's move on here. Talking about an article on Robin Good's website over at masternewmedia.org. Let me look at the time. We're doing okay. He's got an article here. How much is my website worth? Best services to estimate a website value. So he's got a listing of different services out there that can do evaluation on your website. And, I think what you should really look at, and this is a pretty standard business model, is if you take what you're earning per year with your business or your website, multiply that by three, and using, a few other determining factors, you can kind of come up with the value of your current property, your podcast. Obviously, there's more that goes into it than that, but these different websites that do evaluation will ask you a series of questions. So I have this linked up in the show notes. This is a pretty good one if you want to get an idea on what your current internet property is worth. Now, I don't know what to think about this, but I think if it has any legs, many of you work at companies that have to comply with Sarbanes-Oxley. And one thing that we've done at Raw Voice is we've tried to operate within Sarbanes-Oxley rules from the very beginning, even though we're not a public company. And but there's a information here that's saying that the Supreme Court is going to be reviewing a key component of Sarbanes-Oxley, and it may be time that some of the Sarbanes-Oxley provisions, which was enacted in 2002, could be constitutionally challenged. And if it if the Supreme Court justices decide that some of the articles within Sarbanes-Oxley are not constitutional, it can mean a big, big change for public companies out there, especially in the tech sector. So, for those of you that don't have to deal with any Sarbanes-Oxley stuff, consider yourselves lucky. But I know those in public companies have to do so, and that is, it's a big challenge. All right, over on Amazon Web Services blog, new features for Amazon EC2, elastic load balancing and auto scaling, and Amazon CloudWatch. This is really cool stuff here. You consider there are times when web traffic is not that heavy, there's not services that you maybe not need running, and no matter what you're doing, you're having to currently with a, like we've got dedicated servers over at GoDaddy. They may not be working for a while, and they're just sitting there burning electricity. And with this elastic block storage, with the elastic load balancing, essentially the auto scaling allows you to ramp up resources that as you need them automatically, and you don't have to pay for all that extra stuff when you're not using it. And I think this is very, very smart, and this is very green on Amazon's part. So we will see how this builds out. We continue to look at moving some of our services over onto cloud computing. We really are excited about what Sun is bringing online, but or actually, who owns Sun now? We'll see if that still moves forward. But they're doing some pretty cool stuff over here at Amazon Web Services, so we'll keep an eye on that. Hey, Craigslist, the folks over there are fighting back. Obviously, they've taken a lot of heat over this Craigslist killer, this guy that does this whack job out in East Coast who killed that woman and was doing terrible other things by finding targeting people that he found in erotic services. Section of Craigslist, and the folks at Craigslist had decided they're going to close that, and then they're going to have a moderated adult type of section. But the South Carolina Attorney General really attacked the folks over at Craigslist in a big way. And today, finally, the founder of Craigslist, Craig Newmark, responded with a blog post. And what I find interesting here is that he goes on to say, you know, why are you focusing us? Because he says many prominent companies, I'm reading from his blog post here, many prominent companies, including AT&T, Microsoft, Village Voice Media, not to mention major newspapers and other upstanding South Carolina businesses, feature more adult service ads than does Craigslist, some of a very graphic nature. And he puts a sampling on the website, which I'm not going to link to. But, you know, here's the thing. You know, they have been, obviously, the stuff that was on there, you know, needed probably some looking over. But it's true. You know, this why is Craigslist being held to a higher standard than other companies that are out there? I guess a lot of it has to do with the focus of what happened, but I'm glad to see the folks over at Craigslist have stood up and are basically fighting back and asking for an apology. Seems like internet companies always seem to take the brunt of these attacks by these different types of attorney generals. You know, it's all our fault, all internet companies' faults for doing stuff. Tonight I was playing around with a new site. It was maybe not a new site, but it's the first time I found it. It's called TwitSeeker, TwitSeeker.com. And essentially, you put a search term in, and I put a search term in for Geek News Central podcast, Geek News Central, my name, Blueberry, PowerPress, and I was looking for people that I are not following that were actually talking about the show on Twitter. I found a few people through this and was able to auto-follow them. This is a app that I've really been kind of looking for because I want to follow people that are talking about us. I want to follow people that are talking about podcasting. And this was a cool little search vehicle. It could be abused. You have to be very careful because you can add a lot of people. So I was kind of looking over profiles and picking out people that I wanted to follow. So if you're looking to kind of do some searching, you know, either your name or your show or topics you're interested in, go over to twitseeker.com. Okay, moving on here. Hey, I want to thank a gal who was at the WordPress Columbus meetup that was this past weekend. They had 150 people that went to the WordPress WordCamp event. We were one of the sponsors of that event up there. We didn't make it down to the one in Atlanta. Generally, we only sponsor stuff that we're directly send people to. But Angelo did a session or a small stand-up on PowerPress. And one of the gals there who's using the plugin, she gave us a great shout-out. I'll have this up on the web notes tonight. It's at brandandmarket.com. She talks about basically how the plugin really saved the day for her. And we appreciate that kind of a shout-out and recognition. So thanks to her. And I guess her name is Chris Brown. She's the gal that did it. Hey, over on Boston.com. You know, every once in a while, Boston.com puts out this pictorial, and they've got one right now of Hubble's final servicing mission, and I think they've got like 25 or 30 different pictures here, all from the launch to stuff that they've been able to gather from the space shots and stuff. This thing's really cool. This is a good one, and I love it when they do these. There's some really high-quality pictures. Link will be up in the show notes, of course. Hey, a Harvard professor over on Ars Technica has told a judge that peer-to-peer file sharing is fair use. Now, let me kind of address that for a second. Do you guys think that peer-to-peer file sharing is fair use when you're downloading copyrighted material? You know, come on, let's be real here. Do you really? This guy's a professor at Harvard? Okay, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to think that this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's the lead defense attorney, I guess, for this file swapper named Joel Tenenbaum. And he's filed some briefs with the court where he is going to make some claims that file sharing, peer-to-peer, is simply fair use, and that the him simply having those files on his system does not invoke copyright violation because actually the person that downloaded those from his machine would have been the one that would been the one kind of to violate copyright. So, you know, as much as I hate the RIAA, and honestly I do, I don't know if this is going to fly. I really don't. But it is an interesting strategy. We'll see how we will see how it works out with this tact, and we'll see if he is able to get himself out of trouble. Hey, on CNN, and yes, CNN actually had a video that I actually was attracted to. A 1,220-pound meteorite has been unearthed out of Kansas. The Kansas man dug this thing up, and it appears that this meteorite is 20,000 years old. So it's a big one, and they're all excited about it. So we'll see what comes out. There's a video for it. I'll have it linked up in the show notes. Hey, you know, we talked about gas prices. Is it just me, or is gas going up? It's going up, isn't it? They say that gas prices have jumped 25 cents in the past 3 weeks. Now, we know as we approach summer, gas typically goes up. But how long is it going to be before it's $4 again? We should run a pool here on the show. I'm betting, and I'm guessing, that if the economy kind of picks up a little bit, that it, you know, if we have some positive growth months, let's say we have 2 or 3 positive growth months, I would say that in less than 6 months after that happens, gas will be back at $4.50. What do you guys think? Think it's going to happen? Now, of course, I paid $4.50 and $5 in Hawaii. You guys may have only paid $3.80 or so, but I think gas is going to go up. What do you guys predict? When do you think it's going to be back at $4? That's you know, that's a good question for you guys. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline +1 619 342 7365. Hey, it's being reported that Windows 7 is going to cost more than what Windows Vista did, and Microsoft is jacking up the price. They're saying that the upgrade will actually save people money. I have a hard time believing that they're going to raise the price. Now, they didn't come up with any exact numbers here. But, you know, I guess what Microsoft has to do is make up the difference because they obviously didn't have very good Vista sales. So, you know, they got to tack a few more bucks on to make up the difference from what they, you know, they lost or should have gotten from if they would have done a good job on Vista and made everyone happy. You know, I'm happy with Vista, but many of you are not. But it's being rumored, and this is over on ZDNet.com, that Windows 7 is going to be increased. Hey, imagine you're an expecting father, and your wife is expecting twins, or you're expecting twins. And when the twins are born, and after DNA tests are done, it turns out that one of the twins is from one dad, and one twin was from another dad. That would be a little uncomfortable, don't you think? I'll share that link with you in the show notes. Okay, this gal, or this gentleman by the name of Jamie, I think it's a gal, Jamie Thomas, who's been fighting the RIAA, who has just had a mistrial, I believe. His lawyer has racked up $130,000 in legal bills and basically has said, hey, I'm done. Let me out of this. Let me out of this. I do not want to represent this client anymore. I'm not getting paid. It's costing me too much money. The question is, with this guy racking up $130,000 and them going to go to trial again, what are the chances that this person is going to be able to find another lawyer? I don't know what his fine would have been to pay, but if he's already racked up $130,000 in legal bills, whew, scares me. If you can't do the crime, don't do the time. Even as much as I hate the RIAA, I doubt, you know, I can almost bet you that, now they had the original verdict was $220,000 against him, and then it was thrown out because of jury instructions being flawed. So, 220 plus 130, that's 350. Plus whatever it's going to cost to defend him in the next one. Yeah, this guy's, he's going to be paying for a while, no matter what, even if he just has to pay the lawyer off. So, but the RIAA continues to go after people, even though they said they wouldn't. But we'll have to watch and see what happens with this one. All right, Mac iPod retail sales dip in April. Just like February, April was a gloomy month for Apple retail sales of Mac and iPods. According to data gathered by the NPD Group, they feel that sales were down 1.8% from a year ago. If it's only down 1.8%, I think they're doing pretty good considering the economy is. So we'll keep an eye on the actual numbers that Apple reports for the next quarter. Some good articles about Windows 7 and its early rollout. I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Don't necessarily want to go into that in too much detail here. Wolfram Alpha. And if you guys haven't went over there, I was playing with this a little bit. It's at Wolf, WOLF, Ram, RAM, alpha.com. Kind of a weird domain name. Has went live. And it's a computational knowledge engine. And it's a little different than a search engine. And you can actually, ask it questions in a way like, how many people live in London? And it gives you all kinds of interesting data. This thing is pretty cool. It'd be cool, a pretty cool research tool. I'd like to see how you guys, you guys throw some questions at this thing, and let me know what if it gives you some good answers, if you like the data, do some comparisons with Google and different search engines, and tell me the most interesting thing you found. Send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll kind of do some playing around and have some stuff to share with you on the next show. I was actually kind of trying to ask it how many podcasts are there, and some different types of things. It was kind of giving me some cool stuff. Did you guys know that people that want to manage? Whoa, what was that? I had a big flash from the outside window. So no storm, no lightning. It must have been a car or a camera or something. That was wild. Okay, Toshiba has filed a lawsuit against Imation, and several other recordable DVD makers, saying that they infringe on Toshiba's patents essential to DVD media. How long have DVDs been out? And these guys still want all kinds of licensing and stuff on, basically optical disc recording. Litigation. That's what companies hire lawyers for, and it's just amazing what they sue for on a regular basis. So, I told you earlier in the show I'd talk a little bit about the final Hubble spacewalk. The Hubble is 19 years old. It's hard to believe that the Hubble's been around that long. I mean, I'm just kind of blown away by that number. And by the way, the rover's still stuck in the dirt, but that's for another story. They did five spacewalks. One of the spacewalks was one of the longest ones on record. I guess today they were out about 7 hours, but they replaced the battery, which was only 470 some pounds, I guess, which is not too light for a battery pack, and replaced some sensors and also a protective cover that goes on it. It's supposed to protect the satellite or the telescope as it orbits, and basically trying to protect it from micrometeorite hits and those types of things. So they got a lot of stuff done on it, and everyone is very excited about meeting all the challenges that were set forth. So I have a link up to this in the show notes. You guys can go over and check all the information out. If you're flying with TSA, I mean, if you're flying here in the near future, and you need to make sure that your driver's license name matches your ticket name. Starting on August 15th, there will be a complete 100% enforcement of this, but they're doing random stuff now. If you go to the airport and let's say your first name is Todd, and it's got two D's in it, that's what it says on your driver's license, but your airline ticket has only one D on it, you may get turned away and you won't be able to board. So make sure that when you're making reservations, you get your name right, especially when you buy tickets for other people. Make sure it matches what's on their driver's license or on their passport. Well, it looks like it didn't take too long, but pirated copies of Office 2010 have surfaced on the web. This should not be a surprise. This always happens when new editions of software is coming out, but it's, I guess, available up on some peer-to-peer sites. Hey, this one here blew me away. How many of you are having trouble getting your kids to study? Well, most of us that are married, we know about the old ball and chain, right? we talk about, we're tied down by the ball and chain. It's something we laugh about, especially most fellas do. Well, they have now what's called the study ball. And I got to thinking about this, and this almost sounds to me like you could probably get arrested for child endangerment in some states. And I wouldn't recommend buying this if you lived in California. But the study ball is a 21-pound prison-style device that locks onto your children's leg and only unlocks after a predetermined amount of study time has passed. The homework manacles can't be locked for more than 4 hours and comes with a safety key. Why is effective parenting being replaced by 21-pound prison-style devices that lock onto your children's leg? How many of you find this? It's funny, but it's appalling. This has to be a joke. But they show a picture of it. It's a black ball with a chain, with a leg, with a ankle manacle. It has to be a humor product. But it has to be. Anyone that would do this, shame on you. Hey, there's a good article on Slashdot, and I can't agree with more. You guys have heard me talk about Drew Paul. I like Drew Paul. It's a great CMS, does all kinds of cool things. It's very powerful. Matter of fact, it's probably more powerful than WordPress is, just because of the ability to do a wide variety of things that it does. But the problem I have with Drupal, it's very difficult to theme. It's very difficult to find people to do scripting for Drupal. So those of you that are essentially tied by the hip to Drupal, you're going to be very happy. There's a new book out by Emma Jane Hogben and Constantine Kafer. It's called Front-End Drupal: Designing, Theming, and Scripting. It's a 456-page book. It's available on Amazon.com. It's a comprehensive guide to creating Drupal themes. And I don't know what this thing's going to cost, but I'm sure there's a lot of developers out there that should get this book because it's very hard to find a web developer that will do Drupal work. A couple other articles here I've got. I'm going to skip. I'll have them up in the show notes. One of them is about Australian ISPs. It's continuing being pressured by movie studios to admit piracy, to admit supporting piracy. And there's also a article in here about how college students are not very happy about their work being made available online by universities. And years down the road, their work that they did in college is sometimes a higher page rank than what they're doing with their profession. And they're asking colleges to remove that material, and colleges are saying no, which I find very interesting that the colleges would put the work, some of this work out online, especially for undergraduate stuff. But anyway, this link is up in the show notes. I have it for you tonight. Let me go ahead and get into the voicemail comments. I've got a number of emails as well to go through tonight. A lot of action going on the Ustream channel. Thanks for guys for hanging out here. But let me go ahead and get into the first. Oh, I got to play this. Don't know if this is a spoof. This is pretty long. It's 6 minutes. And I think we got enough time to get through this and the other two voicemails. Let me play the first two voicemails, then we'll play the spoof at the end. Let's do that. We'll play the spoof at the end. We'll do the voicemails and the emails, and then we'll play the TWC audio file, the Time Warner Cable file. And I think you guys will kick out of that. So here comes the first regular voicemail.
Hey Todd, I just wanted to call and give you a compliment, let you know that what you're doing is awesome. All the work you're doing, podcasting and videoing and blogging and everything like that. I've been following you since probably about day two. The one thing that I would just ask that you do is all the new people that you're having post stuff, have them read it one more time before they post. There's a lot of typos and grammar mistakes, and it's just not up to the standards that I'm used to seeing on your blog. So that's all, but keep up the great work, and hopefully one of these days I'll be working with you directly, because I really think you're doing an awesome work in this space. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hey, I appreciate that comment. That was great. Thank you so much. You sure those blog posts weren't mine? You know, I'm the one that's usually making the grammar mistakes and the spelling mistakes. It's usually me. So, yeah, you know, it's just one of those things that takes a little while where, you know, we've got a number of bloggers on now, and I don't go through and edit anything or review. So it is what it is. But thanks for the comment. And I'm sure that most of them listen to the show. They'll probably, you know, take some extra care in making sure that their posting is a little more clean. So, and yeah, yes, again, thank you again for the nice compliment as well. I definitely appreciate it. And no name or anything, but I, you know, next time, don't be afraid to leave your name. All right, here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd, this is Dave here from Jackson, Michigan, just listening to your podcast. And you're saying you were using your Mac there for very little, just Firefox, and you're doing video on the PC. I thought that was a little strange. I do most of my video on a Mac, and there's some really good programs like CamTwist, especially the new CamTwist 2.0 that's coming out that does multiple cameras, and I just got Boinks TV that does multiple cameras and overlays, which is really great and actually might even give your TriCaster a run for the money there.
Oh.
But I love the show, and I will talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for the call, and I mean, be honest with you. The Mac is great for doing video editing, and, you know, I use Final Cut Pro, or Final Cut Studio, I guess is what I have, and obviously no comparison when it comes to that level of video editing, but in the long run, the tools are still largely, you know, I am familiar with CamTwist. I'm not familiar with the new version of it that's coming out, but I think what Mike has done here with VidBlaster Studio is very impressive, and it runs on a PC. And we'll have to see what happens with these new versions of applications coming out. Definitely thanks for the tip on that. I'll check them out. And always looking for, you know, a better way, a better mousetrap here. But right now I'm pretty happy with what Mike has done with VidBlaster. I can record. I can put different overlays on. I can run video effects. I can run audio files in the stream. It makes me a MP4 output if I want. So it's, you know, it's pretty good. It really, really is. And, but again, thanks for the tip on the other ones, and we'll keep an eye out, for those and make a check. All right, let me go ahead here and get into the emails. We'll catch that last, voicemail at the end of the show. Hey, Bree, thanks so much. Yes, I know the, yesterday, our last show was much better than two shows ago when we talked about the problem I had with not making sure the knobs were right. And I'm glad, well, there's an email that just came in. I'm glad that the quality was much better on the last one. So, again, apologize for two shows ago. But every once in a while, even the pro here, he slips up from time to time. Okay, got an email from Gernot. He said, hey, Todd, on one of your recent shows, you mentioned some white hat hackers taking over a botnet and pulling more than 50,000 passwords in 10 days from the Internet. This shocked me since Internet password policy is not really secure so far. So I decided to change it and found a very handy and free tool called SuperGenPass. It's at supergenpass.com. It's a bookmarklet which runs locally in your browser. It takes a master password, which is only known to you, then takes the domain name of your site you're about to log on to and generates a unique and strong password. It's super easy to install, integrates well with various login pages. Maybe you want to share this with your listeners. Thanks for the constant quest towards more security on the net. Thanks for the good work by Gernot. You know, Gernot, what I use on my computer is, and basically I have an application that I've used for a long, long time. It's called KeePass, KeePass. Generally will do the same thing. Doesn't integrate into your browser. I really don't like applications that integrate directly into the browser just because of the concern of browser security. It's a really touchy subject with me, and even the password storage in Firefox, I'm really leery of. But thanks for the information on this. I'll definitely check it out and see how they, have this integrated so we don't have to worry about a browser getting hacked and then losing all your passwords. I got an email from Greg in Austin, and Greg is one of the longtime listeners of the show. He actually came out to the Austin meetup that I had last time I was here in Texas. He says, "Hey, Todd, being a Navy airman, I thought you might appreciate this story." And what it was an Air Force airman noticed a fuel leak on a commercial airliner, and he brought it to the attention of the staff or the airline folks, and he basically hero for the day. And of course, as any of us guys that work in aviation, we're always looking out at the wings and looking for things that you see, liquid on a wing. That's generally not a good thing, or a little drizzle off the side. So even though I'm retired, it's nice to see that the active duty guys are doing a good show. Got an email from Tim, and this is an important one here, folks. Tim is looking for a job. Okay, and so those of you that live in the Jacksonville, Florida area, listen up. It says, "I live in Jacksonville and been working in IT for 13 years. I started at JD Edward and spent 10 years as a consultant working with a RF data collection interface to the JD Edwards Advanced Warehousing Manufacturing Distribution System. I started out doing mostly programming and moved on to a business analyst role. I left that company in 2006 to work with Student Employment System doing business analysis and project management. I was laid off from that job in 2008 and started working for another company on employee performance management system as a business analyst until May 7th of this year. It says, I'm open to any opportunity, whether it be a contract or permanent position. I'm even open to positions outside of the IT consulting realm if possible. I've enjoyed the different technology environments I've experienced. Having those experiences provide me with a well-rounded skill set that I can bring to any resource. As I mentioned in my previous message, if there's an opportunity for me to get more experience in the podcasting, RSS, or other web services arenas, I would value it greatly. I also enjoy learning the cutting-edge technology and participating in pioneering new offerings. Thanks, Todd. I appreciate the help. Cheers, Tim." So Tim is a great candidate for someone if they have a company that's looking for a business analyst in the programming side or even in the IT side, doing consulting as well. If anyone may have a job that they think that Tim would be a good fit for them in their company in the Florida area, I don't know if Tim is up for moving or not, but the Ohana is large here, and Tim's looking for a job. And again, as the shows, as I said before, if you are looking for work, you can use the Geek News Central Employment Board by sending an email to me, just like Tim has, and explain what you're looking for. And if so, anyone's out there got a position for Tim, send me an email. I'll get you connected with him online. Matter of fact, his email address is PETTUSTA@gmail.com. P-E-T-T. Let me hover over this again. PETTUSTA@gmail.com. Good luck, Tim. Let me know, and I'll pass anything on to you. Trucker Tom sent me a pretty good couple of links here. One was to talking about how the Pentagon is prepping soldiers for telepathy. I don't know anything about that one. I don't know what you guys do there, but it kind of got my eyeballs wide. And then talking about the Ann Arbor News, who's going to publish its final edition on July 23rd, so another newspaper going out. Got a tip for the Ohana on Windows 7 upgrade advisory. This came from Carl. He said, "Hey, Todd, check this out. Might be something interest for the Ohana Windows 7 upgrade advisory beta. It's a tool from Microsoft to test your computer for the upcoming Windows 7. The tool is in beta right now, but works without problem. I downloaded and installed it. It works fine. Check it out. I have the link to it here in the show notes for you." Got an email from a listener of the show, say, "Hey, Todd, you overlooked my reason for using AdBlock Plus plugin. I use it because some of the sites I go to serve ads from servers that take forever to load. This slows the page load itself. If it were not the case, I would gladly view your ads, get the message out to those ad servers to increase capacity. I'll remove the blocker." You're still getting the code. Ad blocker may not be showing it on your site, but it's still, still being brought into your PC. It's having to block it that way, so it's not speeding, should not be speeding up the page loads at all. Got an email from Frank. He says, "Hey, Todd, here's a link to Comcast. Their lobbying budget has soared, and I have a link to this in the show notes. Basically, they're spending They spent $12.5 million in 2008, and they're increasing their lobbyist spending up to $14.4 million for the same period this year, so I have that link in the show notes. I got an email from Landon. He said, "Hey, Todd, I have a few quick questions. I want to buy some hardware that will turn my PC into a DVR. I have Comcast cable. I'm constantly running out of space on the DVR. I called their technical support, and they told me to hook up an external USB drive to my cable box at the front of the USB connection. That didn't work. I called back, and they told me to connect it to the USB connection in the back. That didn't work. I called back, and they sent out a tech. The tech was supposed to be at my house between 8 and 11. He got here at 5:45 p.m. I wasn't home at the time. He left a note saying that everything is working fine. When I run out of space, my cable box HD, it will automatically record on my external USB. Of course, that didn't work. I called to cancel Comcast. They sent out another tech who told me that what I was trying to do can't be done. So now I'm trying to turn my PC into a DVR. Do you sell those? If not, do you know of a good one that I can buy?" I don't sell those. But we did do some interviews at CES on DVRs that are basically ones that you can buy yourself. Now, they don't have the some of the encryption involved in order to record some of the stuff on some of your cable channels. But he goes on to say, "I have a wireless connection at my house. I see all the available networks in my area. Do you know if it's possible to see if anyone's using my connection?" Hey, just make sure you have your, I guess this is question number two. Number one, maybe Johanna will have some suggestions there for you. But number two, make sure your wireless connection is locked down. That's the main thing. And in most wireless routers, you can go in and you can look at the MAC IDs of the machines that are currently connected to your wireless router. So you basically have to, it'll give you a name. So just get into your wireless router config file. You'll know how many PCs in the house are connected to it, and that should give you an idea if you're safe. Number three, do you know how I can have all of my Windows Explorers and other programs open in detail mode? That I don't know. Maybe some would be able to provide information to that. Got an email from Holger. He said, "Hey, Todd, a few shows ago, you were talking about how far behind other countries were with TV shows compared to the U.S. You gave Lost an example. Well, for Australia, the Lost, we are only one season behind. How far behind is the different... How far behind is a different matter. It hasn't started airing here yet, although I can give an example. We are almost 8 months behind, and that is in the show Sanctuary. It started on the Sci-Fi Channel here on May 31st, where it aired in the U.S. at the start of October last year. Secondly, I thought some of the Ohana might be interested in this. Sun Microsystem, the company I work for, has some training material up for Solaris, Java, and Java FX, as well as some help with putting a resume CV together. This would help for anyone trying to upskill or get into IT, especially people who have been affected by the economic downturn. Finally, there's a slight problem with the GoToMeeting link on the webpage. I don't think it's at your end, though. I click on the link. It takes me to... That's interesting. Hey, Holger, send me a screenshot, if you can, of where that is. I'll double-check everything on the website, though. Okay, let me look at the time here. And, Well, we're going to play the audio file, and we'll leave it at that at the end. You guys can listen to it if you want, but this is the 6-minute Time Warner call. And but the regular show stuff is wrapped up here. Appreciate all you guys hanging out. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Thanks, everyone, for the emails. Thanks for the voicemails. Thanks for the all the suggestions on show links. It's definitely appreciated. I'll be back here live on Ustream on Thursday night. It'll probably be an early show because I'm going to try to wrap up early because I have an early flight out of DFW on Friday. But as always, I'll be back in Honolulu, of course, next week for the shows. And I thank you guys for hanging out. I'm going to sign off for now, but I'm going to go ahead and play this TWC short for those of you that want to hang out and listen to this. And at the end, the show will just end, or maybe I'll come on and say a few words. But until next time, aloha. And here comes the TWC short.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Time Warner Cable. This call may be monitored or recorded. Para español, marque 9. Please hold for a customer service.
Thanks for calling Time Warner Cable Sales. Can I help you?
How you doing? I am a Time Warner Cable customer currently. But I'm relocating from New York to San Antonio. What I want to do is find out what services are available there, because I'm hearing that the services may be different. What's available there than here? Oh, so I'm sorry. Hello, sir. Did I lose you?
Hey, Ashley.
Sir.
Hello. I tell you what. Let me just get down to it, okay?
What happened?
Digital cable. Let me just get down to it real quick. I'll let you know what our promotions are. You tell me if you like it, okay? I think that might be a little bit easier. We can do digital.
Hold on, let me. Can you? I'm sorry, sir.
Would you like to hear my promotions?
I would, but I need to write this down. But okay. I got to get my girlfriend here because my hands shake so much I can't read the writing. Uh-huh. I just got to get her to write it down for me. Oh, wait a minute. No, the doctor gave me a little. I got an ADT kind of thing. By my memory, he gave me a little tape recorder. Hold on, where is it at? A dictator, he calls it. Hold on, let me get that, and then I can just record it. One second, bear with me, sir. I'm sorry. The main thing I'm calling about is my son-in-law. He's got, like I said, he's one of these computer hacker nerd kids, whatever you call it. He set me up with one of these laptop computers, a little laptop computer you fold open. And he showed me how to watch TV on there, and I love it. And now, but he's telling me, he's like, B.A., you know, they got a problem in Texas where they got these people that use too much of the pipe on the internet. So they're limiting how much you can use. And he's telling me, because I watch TV on there, I may be limited, right? So I said, well, certainly I can buy more. They use too much and they get the service cut off. They get in trouble. Now, I don't want to do anything wrong. I'm completely willing to pay for what I use. Now, what I told him is, well, hey, why can't I buy another cable modem? Why can't I have two in the house, you know, if I'm going to use more? Or even three. I don't mind. Look, I'm a hog. Just like when I go to the buffet. I go to Chinese buffet. Sometimes if I'm hungry, I pay for two people because I go up there so much. I'm a big guy. In fact, I have paid for two seats in the airplane before. For me, you should see the look on their face when they ask me if that seat's taken. I say, yeah, taken by me. But so you see, I mean, I'm comfortable financially. I don't mind paying for the extra one. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to use.
Let me just interject if I can, before we get too long into this. We don't have that down here, so it's not an issue. We don't do that now here at this time. It was been delayed. I have no information on when it will come around, but it's not anytime soon.
What do you call the measurements? Megabits or something? Gigabits. Yeah, he said, you see here, this guy used 50 of these in a month, and they turned his service off. Well, you know, how do you know I use that much? He said, well, you know, maybe you watch TV all day long. Maybe you do. Well, I'll pay for it if I do. In the future, if I told him as a solution, in the future, if I had to buy three of these cable modems, not a problem, right? I mean, you know what? I never have a problem. I love this service. He's telling me about the, what do you call it, the fiber. I don't want the, I love the service. The Roadrunner is fast. He just got a small gas tank. He's fast, but he runs out quick, right? If it runs out, so I buy him, bigger gas tank. I get 380 modems, and if I had to do that, there's no rule that I can't have three, right? I mean, all in my name, three in my house.
To have different modems in the house.
What, three different? If I wanted to have three different internet accounts in my house.
Sure.
If they sent me a letter and something said, oh, you're using too much, then okay, then yeah, for $49 I get another one. All right, then I double it, or even if I had to get three. I can't imagine I'd ever use more than that, but hey, it's worth it to me. Is there a way I can measure to see if how much I'm using on there?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, so how do they know?
The United States is the only country that doesn't do it, and all the other countries in the world, that's what I heard, are actually on it. So.
Yeah, well, like I said, I admit I'm a hog. I'm comfortable. I spend my money on what I want, and, I am a hog on a lot of things. But I get a warning, and then I'll say, okay, send me another modem. Give me a second account, right? I mean, I get a warning, and I'll just cut it off, right?
As of now, I don't know how they're going to do that. Are you talking again about the consumption of the internet?
Yeah, about me watching TV all day on the laptop computer. To be safe, you think I should go ahead and get two of these internet lines put in?
Sure.
Better safe than sorry, right?
Correct.
My son-in-law showed me is what some of these people got cut off. They had a hard time getting the service turned back on and whatnot. I don't want to go through all that. I'd just rather pay the money. So, you know, I just get two of them, and then I'll just try to remember which ones I'm using and switch back and forth.
Switch me up for three just to be on the safe side.
Three?
Okay, it cut off right there, folks. I don't know if there was more or not, but he's going to get three. Three is in three. If you listen to this thing, it has a bunch of puns, so you go back and listen to it again during, you guys on the podcast site can rewind it. All right, folks, that's it. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you on Friday. Aloha.